From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil reporting. The United States says it will open a new embassy in Jerusalem in May to coincide with Israel's 70th anniversary. State Department said Friday the new embassy will be located in the building that currently houses the U.S. consular operations in Jerusalem.
Donald Trump announced that the United States recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital last year, a relocation from Tel Aviv that reverses decades of U.S. policy. The announcement sparked protests by Palestinians who claimed the eastern part of the city as the capital of a future state, and Washington's Arab allies were infuriated. The new date would bring the opening substantially forward. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence previously said the move would take place by the end of 2019.
That's Reuters' Jacob Greaves reporting after announcing that what he called the largest ever sanctions against North Korea. U.S. President Donald Trump Friday threatened a phase two if the measures are not effective. Mr. Trump did not specify what he meant by phase two, but suggested it would be very, very unfortunate for the world. Few expect any diplomatic breakthroughs from Ivanka Trump's visit to South Korea to lead the U.S. delegation at the closing ceremonies at the Pyeongchang Winter Olympics. The daughter of U.S. President Donald Trump paid a visit to South Korean President Moon Jae-in Friday at the presidential residence known as the Blue House in Seoul. A suicide blast in the diplomatic area of Afghanistan's capital left at least one person dead and six others wounded Saturday. Speaking to reporters in Kabul, an Interior Ministry spokesman said the attack took place in the Sheikh Derek area near NATO headquarters and not far from the U.S. Embassy. This is VOA News. Under growing legal pressure from special counsel Robert Mueller, former Trump campaign aides Paul Manafort and Rick Gates took divergent paths Friday, with Gates pleading guilty to two felony counts and Manafort facing new charges in the Russia probe. Gates appeared in federal court in Washington, D.C. to enter a plea of guilty to one count of conspiracy against the United States, one count of lying to the FBI and special counsel investigators as recently as February 1st, while he was negotiating a plea agreement with Mueller's office. While Gates cut the deal with Mueller's office, Trump's former campaign chairman remained defiant, even as Mueller announced new charges against him, saying he would not cut the deal. The UN Security Council failed Friday to reach a consensus on a draft resolution implementing a 30-day ceasefire across Syria and lift sieges on the towns. The council is expected to try again Saturday, but as VOA's Lisa Schlein reports, the situation in Ghouta and other areas is worsening.
Last May, Russia, Turkey, and Iran signed an agreement in the Kazakh capital, Astana, aimed at reducing violence between rebels and Syrian government forces in four so-called de-escalation zones in mainly opposition territories. The cessation of hostilities agreement appears to have run its course. Syrian activists report more than 420 civilians in eastern Ghouta have been killed this past week. The United Nations reports at least seven health facilities have been hit, putting several out of service. UN Security Council efforts to pass a resolution mandating a 30-day ceasefire so far have hit an obstacle.
And again, that is VOA's Lisa Schlein reporting. U.S. President Donald Trump has reiterated for the third consecutive day the need to arm teachers with concealed weapons to prevent more shootings in U.S. schools. As he did Thursday, Mr. Trump called for up to 20% of teachers to carry concealed weapons to thwart school massacres. He criticized the gun-free zones that are currently in use.
The bad guy thinks that somebody's in this room with a weapon that's going to be pointed at him with live bullets. He's not even going into the school. It's the one way you're going to solve it. You're not going to solve it with gun-free spaces.
He also called again for comprehensive background checks on gun buyers and ending the sale of bump stocks. The U.S. Secret Service said a vehicle rammed into a security barrier at the White House Friday. He said the driver was immediately apprehended and arrested. She's been identified as a 35-year-old woman from Tennessee. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
It's music time in Africa.
Hello, music lovers. Welcome to the program. I'm Heather Maxwell, your host, and here's what's inside today. Classic Mande music from Mali. Current Afrobeats and Afropop from Ghana and Nigeria. Song of the Week from Zimbabwe. And a wonderful oldie, a classic from 1985, Tanzania. I also sample for you a short sound bite of one fan from Morocco's live performance on Facebook. On the music news front, Ghana mourns for the tragic loss of rising star Ebony Rains. Kwame Ofori joins me to talk about what happened. A good part of today's show features an interview and live performance with Zimbabwe's top female artist, Amara Brown. I met her in Harare recently. She's a fascinating young woman who speaks openly about love, racial identity, her new album, Amartya, and her legacy as a daughter of music legend Andy Brown. Amara dedicates her live performance to the great Hugh Masekela, who passed away just a few days prior to our interview. Here's Salif Keita with the Mande classic Tegere. Clap your hands. It's music time, peeps, in Africa. Hello, my lovies. Hello. This is Heather. We're at the top of Music Time in Africa. That was Salif Keita kicking us off with Tegere. From Mali to Nigeria, And a couple decades later, here's Juan de Cole's latest offering, Turquenla. I get the bones for you.
Nigeria. Now, I have music news for you, but it's really sad. Rising Afrobeats dancehall artist Ebony Rains from Ghana has died. She was just 20 years old. And here to talk about it is Kwame Ofori, my VOA colleague, who often does Song of the Week, but this time he's joining me to talk about this tragedy. Hey, Kwame, how are you doing?
Hi, Heather. It's rather unfortunate on the day we choose to speak of the rise of Ebony Rains. She's actually no more. The whole of Ghana is mourning, and we feel like we've lost a star who would have done great things.
Well, tell us what happened exactly.
I woke up Friday morning to the news, but she died late Thursday evening. That's February 8th. She was traveling between Sunyane and Kumasi. Mm-hmm. I think she had gone to see her mother, who had just returned from abroad. So returning back to Kumasi, and then it happened. It was a road accident, a very gruesome road accident from all pictures and indications.
That is just devastating. Now, I know she was 20 years old, but who was she? She was a rising Afrobeats dancehall artist. What did people love about her?
Ebony came into the limelight when Ghana Music Awards nominated her and a couple of up-and-coming artists for the unsung category of the awards. So it was her, Adoma, who we've had on the show, other artists who were promising. She didn't win, but after 2016, 2017, she came onto the scene with Poison, and then she had released Coupé earlier. And as soon as Poison came out, we're like, there's something going on here, because the video was well shot. Her voice, we started to hear that distinct ebony voice. So after Poison, Ghanaians started taking note of her. What people loved about her was she was herself. She didn't care about what people spoke about her. She didn't care. Just live your life. And she was living her best life. So she will be missed.
Thank you.
Yeah, but like I said, it's sad we are talking about her on this note on her death, because 2017 was her year. And everyone said 2018 Ghana Music Awards, she was definitely going to take Artist of the Year. And that would have set a record. The youngest. Yes. Last year was a gospel artist for the first time. This year was supposed to be another record. The youngest artist to ever win.
She was a beautiful young woman as well. She has some videos out, music videos out. You can check them out. One that I really liked that was released also in 2017 is Mami.
Mami She. Yeah. And in that video, she was advocating against domestic violence against women. And this is not a lady who, I mean, young, so young, 20, and she's already not just shaking the entertainment industry in Ghana, but she's advocating as well.
Yes.
And that says a lot. That's a star right there.
Well, may she rest in peace. Let's listen to Mami She in honor of the late Ebony Rains.
Rough time, my kids.
One day you will know, these are the words of my mother. As I'm getting old, even away I remember. So I'm packing all my tools, I'm going back at home. A young girl like me shouldn't be caught with an old school fool. He told me he was a banker, not knowing bank robber. This man is a gangster, bukum bankum boxer. Oh sorry I no pa, but I'm bobo down boy. It drew where we are, so can it gun junk home. Now it beats me every night and day. Mami She used to want me, but I didn't wanna know. Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She. Junior cry no day, man. Now picking no day here, mama. Picking no day here, papa. And then kwada yaba, social media neda. Better than I a bob, brapa. Better than I a nyon dopa. Nancy Wakodana would hear who got any. I was here, a bob. He told me he was a banker. No, no, when bank robber. This man is a gangster. Bukum bankum boxer. I'm sorry, I no pa. But I'm bobo dambo. A drew we are. Suck a nigga junko. Now he did beat me. Every night and day. Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She. I hate you so much right now. One day you will know, these are the words of my mother. As I'm getting old, even now I remember. So I'm packing all my tools, I'm going back at home. A young girl like me shouldn't be caught with an old school fool. He told me he was a banker, not knowing bank robber. This man is a gangster, bukum bankum boxer. Now he beats me every night and day. Mami She used to want me, but I didn't wanna know. Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She. Mami She, Mami She, Mami She, Mami She. I hate you so much right now. 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 I hate you so much right now.
dali dada muka kunge ndandi inini anija agoni uzaoma moyo kunge njanji. Music Time in Africa, the best pan-African radio show. Tiri heavy heavy. Peace.
All right. Hello, my mama, Africa music-loving melomans. This is Heather Maxwell. Coming up next, new Afro beats, Facebook music, a classic oldie from Tanzania, and so much more. But let's start with the Afro beats. Ms. V and Yemi Alade with Come and See My Moda. Hear that, fellas? Go and see her mother. A Facebook friend from Morocco messaged me a clip of himself singing an old Gnawa song. It's a love song. His name is Abdel Halik, and he goes by Kamara. It sounds good.
Oh,
beautiful. That was Kamara playing the Gimbri in a Music Time in Africa Facebook message. All right. Bandika is a timeless Swahili melody that became a massive hit in 1985. It's about a man who pretends to be prominent with an important job, but really, he's a shameless couch potato, a layabout good-for-nothing who sponges on others in bars. It was composed by Kasalu Kianga, performed and recorded by Kasalu and Orchestra Marquis de Zaire. They say that even today, Swahili speakers use the word karubandika to refer to this kind of guy. Oh my gosh. Hey, I know a karubandika. I know a few of them. Do you?
Kukubali wito wako karubandika.
Beautiful. That was Karubandika. Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. Now it's time for today's feature, the fabulous Miss Amara Brown. This interview was recorded outside in the beautiful gardens of the Bronte Hotel in Harare on January 26th. I'm sitting next to Zimbabwe's top leading female artist, Amara Brown.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm fine. It's so great to meet you in person.
It's great to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you. So how does it feel to be at the top of your game in Zimbabwe?
It feels like yes, but not yet. I am not at my peak. I haven't reached the top, in my opinion. I'm pretty much on the journey to where I want to be.
Where do you want to be?
I want to be the biggest female artist in Africa. Period.
That's great.
Yeah, yeah,
all right.
Well, it's gonna take a lot, but you know, those are my goals. I love my territory. I love Zimbabwe, but I've got so many fans across the continent already that are just dying to get me where they are. And it's just all love. Every time I travel to a new country, it's just this level of excitement. It just sort of reignites me, you know, and gives me that flame and that passion all over again. So I love my continent, and those are my goals for now.
So you come from a family background of amazing musicians, your father especially, the late Andy Brown. How do you feel like you're falling in the lineage in terms of being your own unique artist and also carrying on the name of the Brown family?
Yeah. My dad was very much a world music artist. Mm-hmm. And that was his strong suit, and he owned it, you know. Although he had so many different kinds of influences, when his sound came out, the shape that it always took was different, even within the world music spectrum. And me, you know, as this Afropop artist, what was important for me was just to be the best version of myself. And my father loved that. He respected that. He treasured that. He supported that. And but it was very tricky when he passed away, because Zimbabwe expected a female version of this man that they loved. And, you know, he's their legend, you know. However, I have worked day in and day out to make sure that my music, everything about my brand comes across that is true to myself. My story is different. My father grew up in a village. I grew up in the city. I'm different. I'm a female. I'm, you know, I'm an Afro-pop artist. The messages that I have to sing about are different, or the way that I interpret them are different, even if they're the same message. And so I've tried my best to, I always pay tribute. I perform his music ever so often, one or two songs, as opposed to, you know, what people expected. They just expect me to just sort of ride off of that, you know, music and just perform all his music, and that would be the end of it. I don't have much respect for that. I think I have a voice, and I have a sound, and I have experiences to share that are different to what he brought forth. He was a guitarist. I'm a mbira player and a vocalist and a dancer. I love, 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 you know, putting in 110% energy on a stage. So we're different kinds of performers. He has his legacy. We have his legacy now to uphold. But I'm also creating my own and adding and contributing to the family name more so than anything else, but with my own shoes to fill and grow, as opposed to trying to get into his. That makes sense. Yeah.
You're listening to Amara Brown speaking with me from Harare, Zimbabwe.
I'ma give up anything you ask, I deliver. Bending backwards, building your dreams, hoping that you will love me, it seems. Chins wa chins, chaka ipa. Ya ya I, ya kuneta. Rera ima, ne mukata. Ino fuma, yo kuruma. Dance, boy, Maya dance, boy. Is this a fake romance, boy?
Pop song, Achilles.
Yes.
Achilles.
It's from this album, right? This is your new CD?
Yes, yes it is.
It's beautiful. Amasha.
Thank you so much.
I love the green.
It's my favorite color.
I know, and the green lipstick.
Yes, thank you so much. I was so nervous about this project, I must say. I had released so many singles. But I'd never, you know, put together a whole body. I once lost an entire album, and putting this together was just absolutely just a riveting experience. But somewhere a couple of months prior to releasing the album, I was in a relationship, and, you know, I'm the kind of person who believes that you should not just emotionally and mentally support the person that you love, but also, if you can, help financially do that. Actually, you know, get into it. And we had a fight, and I felt really used. And I looked around me, and I realized that, you know, in African culture, and particularly in Zimbabwean culture, I can't speak for every African culture, but in Zimbabwe, it's very strange to have a woman in power, a woman who is the provider, a woman who is, you know, I'm the matriarch in my family, in my personal life, and I conduct that. It extends beyond what people see on a stage. Yes, I'm the boss on stage, I'm a boss at work, but at home, I also have a very huge role to play.
You're the boss.
You know, something like that.
Okay.
You know, but, you know, my input is very important. Yeah. But I looked around, and all these women were getting into these relationships with these men who were using them for the wrong reasons. You know, you love a person, but you don't particularly understand why the other person is in it because of the economic situation that we're going through. A lot of people, and I'm not even going to peg this on men, because with the song coming out, I found a lot of men were also saying women are also treating us like that. We're getting into marriages for financial reasons as opposed to. And so, the story of Achilles from Greek mythology, I knew that Zimbabweans would just mess up the spelling, and a lot of people would be like, what is Achilles? You know? So I turned the word Achilles into Achilles with a K and a Z at the end and one L. Simplify it so that, you know, the hashtag is simple. Hashtag Achilles. And it's been amazing. It landed up Song of the Year. The video did the most. We debuted it on a major station across the continent, and it's done fantastic online. A lot of people had a lot to say about my depiction of the storyline of what was going on, because, you know, the sexual connotations are a bit much for some people. But I'm a very sexually liberated woman, and I don't believe that my music should portray anything else. And I love the social conversations that have come out of the music video, and I'm very glad with the stats. We're going on 500,000, so I'm super, super proud right now in the space of just over a month.
And that's amazing.
Yeah, it's done great.
You take my money, you seduce me with
kana hana odo uchindi tendereza odo hauna kana moyo odo uchindi tendereza odo hauna kana hana odo uchindi tendereza odo hauna kana moyo odo again is why you killing me,
why you killing me, oh, 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 oh.
Again is why you using
me, why you using me, oh, oh,
yeah.
You seduce me with your body,
baby.
You think you take my money.
Peeps, there's more of our interview right after this. She plays mbira and sings live and dedicates her song to Hugh Masekela, who died just a few days prior to this interview.
Music Time in Africa.
Awesome.
Tune in online for the live stream. Fridays okay. at 900 and Saturdays and Sundays awesome. At 900, 15, 20 and 2200 Universal Time. Go to voanews.com and click Listen. Then choose VOA Africa.
So you play the mbira.
Yes.
It's your traditional side.
Yes. Yes.
I really would love to hear you play something for us.
I would love to do that,
okay.
actually.
I'm
in the-
Hello, everybody. That was Amara Brown live from Harare. You're inside Music Time in Africa. This is Heather, and I was in Harare in January to check the pulse of the music scene in that city. Amara is one of several artists I'll be presenting on the show over the next several weeks. Here's my final part of the interview with her. And then, to finish things off, we've got the Song of the Week with Nazir Hauzawa. The song's also from Zimbabwe, called Tose.
Thanks again for that gorgeous song. You know, you messed me up. My makeup, I was crying. That was so beautiful.
You're so welcome. It came from the heart. I actually initially composed that song with my late little sister, whom Sekuru Nasekela loved dearly as well. So it's a very sentimental song to me, and I'm glad I could share that with you.
Thank you so much. So a few more questions.
Yeah.
You've lived around the world also.
Right.
Tell me about your time in the United States and what that did for you.
Oh, man. My mom had just moved there a couple of months prior. She liked to bounce around a lot. Mm. And, you know, she, one of the goals, she wanted to live in America for a while. And so we did. I moved there all of 11 years old. And I remember my mom saying to me, "What race are you?" And I said, "I'm colored." And she's like, "No, you're not. You're black here. And let me explain why." And I was like, "What?"
Yeah, at 11.
It's very confusing because in Africa, I'm not black. I'm mixed. And they have all sorts of, you know, definitions and terms and restraints that we had coming out of colonization and all that kind of thing. Post, mm-hmm. Even now, there's still a lot of social difficulties that we have. If I date somebody black right now, it's interracial. So, yes, it is.
That would not be the case in the United States.
Exactly. I had to learn that. I had to understand what is this history. She made me binge watch Roots, Color Purple, name it. You know, Malcolm X. I was suddenly, you know, exposed to all these people, this entire culture and history that I had no idea about. And I realized the dynamics when I got home. So I'm coming back and I'm just like, "I'm black." And they're like, "No, you're not." And I was like, "What? Why?" Because my dad was also mixed as well. So it helped me as an adult particularly. I look back now and I was very grateful for the American experience because I was exposed to just how different how different America is and the world is and how different Africa is and how to integrate and help that understanding cross over, even now in the process of my music and just how I am, my persona, the understanding that Zimbabweans need to have. America was a very important, integral part of how I view the world and how I even view sexuality. You know, it's very conservative here, or they appear to be conservative.
That'll be a different interview.
Who knows? So
maybe off the record.
Yeah, this is very different. But yeah, I loved America. I fell in love with hip-hop culture, even more with R&B. My mother had exposed me, you know, years prior to, so I remember being in the Martin Luther King choir and just loving choir as an actual class. Oh my god, that's gold here because that doesn't exist here. America's ability to nurture talent. A lot of people say, "Oh, you're talented." There's so much more that it takes than talent. Americans are very much about, you know, going in 110% nurturing, and I adopted that. I took it with me, and I think it was a very important part of how I became as a woman. And eventually I lived in South Africa, which is also its own beast. But love, love, love. Love, love, love living about. But Zimbabwe is my favorite.
All right, well, we're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately. Do you have any message you would like to give to all of our listeners in Africa, on Music Time in Africa, and follow us on Facebook?
Oh, my goodness. It is the most amazing time to be African, first and foremost. And I want to say to you that all of you out there are... You are the picture. You are help formulating the picture of whom African people are. And it is so important. I'm so grateful for every single one of you who do already support me and my music. And those of you who haven't yet, please get to know. Follow me on Facebook at Amara Brown Fans, A-M-M-A-R-A, 3 A's, 2 M's, and 1 R. We always have to clarify that. Follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, find me on YouTube, and have a great time. And let's grow together, let's build together, let's redefine what an African person is. Want them to know. Love.
Amara Brown, Music Time in Africa, with me, Heather Maxwell. Yeah. I'm the Voice of America. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This is great.
Watch Music Time in Africa on YouTube. Artist interviews, live performances, and awesome music videos. Get it all in one place on the Music Time in Africa YouTube channel.
Don't touch that dial, peeps. There's still my song of the week to wrap up the show.
And this is the song of the week.
Joining me now in the studio is Nazir Hausawa, a.k.a. Zirium.
Hello, hi there, and hello, audience.
How you doing, Nazir?
Good. It's been a while.
It has been.
Yes.
Well, this song of the week I chose, it's called Tosa.
Huh?
Tosa.
Okay, I'm not even going to try it.
T-O-S-E. It's a Shona word.
Oh. What does it mean?
It means together.
Oh, okay, now I have to learn how to say it. Say it again.
Tosa.
Tosa.
You sound good, Nazir.
Thank you.
So I was in Zimbabwe recently, as you know, and I worked with one artist who is the artist of this song, Tosa. His name is Bled Chimanga. He told me that the song means together. It's a song that's reminiscing about when he and his friends were kids in the little children's games they used to play and how happy they were.
Oh, that sounds so nostalgic.
Yeah. And the song's happy. So let's listen to it.
All right, let's do this.
Gotta say, Jose.
Kosi na Instagram iwe wenyora tamba kwa jiri tose. Kare tai chabula tose. Chechimba, chechimba.
About this song, that was Tulsa.
Oh my goodness, oh my goodness. The harmony and the tune is like all over the place. Like,
I know.
It's just like all Africa.
I think it's joyful.
Yeah, it's beautiful, yeah. Really.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Nazir Hausawa from the VOA Hausa service with me on Song of the Week.
Yay, yay.
All right, thanks for joining me, peeps. And a special thank you to Amara Brown, Blessing Chimanga, Kwame Ofori, and Nazir Hausawa and Kamara for that Facebook tune. Looking forward to meeting you back here next week on our FM stations. We're live Saturday and Sundays at 1505 and 2005 UTC. And we're also on shortwave radio Friday at 0905 UTC and Saturdays and Sundays at 0905, 1505, 2005, and 2205 UTC. Finally, you can always find us online at voanews.com anytime. Just search for me, Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. Till next week, stay beautiful, peeps. Stay beautiful, M's. Stay beautiful.